This year is dedicated to Ilui Nishmat Rivka Rochel Bat Zechariah. We're beginning here on the top of Mem Gimel Af by the two dots. The Gemara here is discussing the line in the Mishnah that we saw yesterday, which is Hayu Yoshvim Kol Echad Mevarech Latzmo. When they are seated at the table or around the table, then each person makes their own bracha because they're not considered to be a single group for bracha. Hesebu, if they have a seba, that's considered to be a kviut, establishing of a unity amongst the people that are there. And therefore, Echad Mevarech Lekulam. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss that issue. Hesebu Echad Mevarech. Amarav, lo shanu elo bepat. That's only true by bread, debay Haseba. In order to create that unity, you require a Haseba. Ava yayin lo bay Haseba. When it comes to wine, it do not require a Haseba in order to join the participants together. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afu yayin nami bay Haseba. Rabbi Yochanan says that he doesn't see any difference between pat and yayin. In order to create a unity amongst the participants, you need Haseba. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha Kit, Rabbi Yochanan, Iged Amre, others have a different nuance in this machloka between them, which is Amarav lo shanu elo bepat, dimahanyule Haseba. Haseba only works to join the people together for a pot, for bread. Avayayin lo mahanyule Haseba. Even if you have Haseba for wine, it doesn't help out. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Yain Nami Mahanyalei Haseba, and Rabbi Yochanan says, even for wine, Haseba works to join the participants to allow them to make a single brocha for everyone that is there. Meitavei, we have a question from the Tosefta, Ketzed Seder Haseba. How does Haseba work? This Tosefta is in Perek Dalet of Brachot. It's a very, very interesting Tosefta, because without this Tosefta, it's very hard to understand the practices that we have on the night of the Seder. Once you've read this Tosefta, you know why our practices on the night of Seder are the way they are, because it was mimicking the eating of royalty or the higher classes in that time. And that is what's described here in the Tosefta. Ketzer Seder Haseba. What is the proper etiquette for a meal? Orchim nichnasim v'yoshvim al gabei safsalin. The guests come in and they sit down on the benches. Ve'al gabei katedrot. Or on the stools, on chairs, achi kansu kulam, until everybody gathers together. I mean, they have an ante room in which all the guests gather before they enter in for the meal. Heviu lehem ma'im. They bring them water at that point. Kol echad ve'echad notel yado achat. They wash a single hand. Balehem yayin. And then they bring them wine. The question is, why do they wash a single hand in order to have a bracha le yayin? Tosafot says it's mipnei kvod habrocha. Because of the kvod habrocha, they wash that hand that is really holding the wine. And he says it's not similar to the washing that we do for the vegetables on the night of Pesach, or that people did for the tumah that comes from liquids that are found on vegetables. Rashi says the reason that they washed the one hand was the kabel bakos shishotel lifnei amazon, in order to accept in it the kos that they were going to drink before the mazon. Now, it's not clear if this is an issue of cleanliness or there's some sort of religious side to the washing of that single hand. Kol echad ve'echad mevarech le'atzmo. Every person makes their own brocha in this case. Alu ve'hesebu. Then they go in, they enter into the meal room, and everybody does heseba, lays down on their side. Uvalehem mayin. And then they bring water again. Afal pishu kol echad ve'echad natal yado achat. Even though each one of them had already washed a single hand beforehand. Choser ve'notel shtei yadav. You wash again, but this time both hands. This is for the meal. Balehem yayin. Now again, they brought them wine. Even though in the anteroom, everybody had made their own bracha on the wine. Again, they have to make a second bracha. And one person can make a bracha for everyone that is found there. As Tosafot points out, Tosafot says the reason they have to make a new bracha is because they have a shinu makom. They change locations. And in changing locations, the first bracha on the wine does not cover the wine that is in the second room, in the eating room. Rashi says the reason you have to make another bracha is because ein rishon karoy lifnei amazon. We saw before in our Mishnah that if you make a bracha on the yain lifnei amazon, poterat yain shibetoch amazon. So why doesn't that happen here? He says because this yain that is before the mazon is before the mazon. The wine they're going to drink that we bring in the second part of this, the seifa of the braita or the tosefta, says that was the drink or wine before the meal. This wine is the pre-appetizer wine, and that wine does not classify as being lifnei amazon, because it's not bikom suda. It's not in the place where you're going to eat. You're not going to eat in the anteroom, you're going to eat in the dining room. And therefore, until you're brought into the dining room, the bracha on the yayin does not impact things that are in the meal. So Mara says, based on the Tosefta, Hayech lishno da'amar Rav, according to the Lashon, the Rav said, lo shanu el bapat, the baya seba, you only require a seba for a pot. Aval yain lo ba yaseba, but yain does not require seba. Kasha reisha. The beginning of the Tosefta is problematic for that memra, because there it says, Kol echad v'chad mevarech le'atzmo. Every person makes their own bracha on the wine, presumably because they are not being mesiv, they're not laying down. But had they been, they would have been able to make a bracha. So you see that does impact. The Gemara says, no, maybe, shani rochim did the tayu l'me'aker. Maybe even if they were doing haseba, it wouldn't have mattered over there. It doesn't matter about haseba, it doesn't matter about anything, because orchim, the guests, have a different status. As Rashi explains over here, that the derech balei batim ashirim, the wealthy owners, to these elaborate meals that had a whole protocol of etiquette, they used to invite poor people. So the hachikar le orchim, and that's why they're called guests. Guests in the sense that they were not friends or family of the owner, but rather outsiders that he brought in order to do tzedakah and help them out and have them join his meal. And since these individuals who came there are not going to stay in the place that they are, even if they're mesiv in that location, that's not where they're going to stay. They know they're going to move to another room afterward. And since this is just the gathering room, the ante room beforehand, where people are getting together, there really is no kviut in that room in order for one person to make a bracha for others, and they're also entering at different times. Therefore, each person makes their own bracha. According to the Lashon that says, Damarav Loshanu Elba Pat, Demahani Lehaseba. Seba only helps by a pot. Ava Yain Lo Mahani Lehaseba. Even if you do a Seba, it does not help for Yain, meaning one person cannot make a bracha for everyone else. So Kasha Seifa, the latter half of the Bright or the Tosefta is problematic for that Lashon, because there it says, Echad Mevarech Lukulam. Once they've entered into the dining room, they do make one bracha for everyone. So Gemara says, Shiny Otom Demigo De Mahani Lehaseba Le Pat. Over there, they're going to begin the meal. The haseba works in order to have one person make a bracha on the pot for everyone else. And so, migo, that it works for the pot, it also will work for the yayin. But if it was standalone, the yayin, that would not be the case. Now the Gemara continues. Balahem yayin mitoch hamazon. Our Mishnah says, if they get wine during the middle of the meal, kol echad v'chad mevarech le'atzmo, every person has to make their own bracha. Shalua ben Zomami, Bnei Mam Ruba, Hem Yayin Mitoch HaMazon, Kol Echad V'Echad Mevarech Le'atzmo. Why is it in our Mishnah that it says, if you get wine in the middle of the meal, everybody makes their own bracha? Yet, Achar HaMazon, Echad Mevarech Lukulam. After the meal, one person makes a bracha for everyone. So I'm like, hey, I'll tell you what the difference is. Ho V'Ein Beita B'liat Panui. Their mouths, their throats are not available. They are full. People are swallowing food. They're busy eating and focusing on the swallowing of the food. And therefore, if one person would make a bracha for everyone else, they would have to answer amen while they have food in their mouth, while they are eating, which would be inappropriate. And in addition, the risk or the choking hazard, so therefore, you have a problem. Rashi says, Ein leva misubim, ela mevarecha lelivla. They're not paying attention, which is a third possibility. One possibility is that they don't have the availability to say amen. The other possibility is that it's dangerous. And the last one is that, as Rashi points out, they're not going to be focused on listening to the bracha to be yotze. They're focused on eating. And they're distracted. So therefore, they don't make a single bracha for everyone else. Tosafot here has some unbelievably interesting halachot. The first one is, the preface that we have before we make the Bari Priya Gofen and Kiddush and other times is, Savri Maranan. And Tosafot says, maybe in the meal, if you use that call of Savri Maranan, which says, everybody pay attention, I'm about to make a bracha, maybe that would suffice. And even in the middle of the meal, you could have one make a bracha for all of them, as long as he prefaced it with this statement of Savri Maranan, so everybody know to get ready in order to answer to the bracha. But Tosfot says, V'ein Yira, the Rabbeinu Elchanan. Rabbeinu Elchanan says he does not believe that is true. The Gevin Shetiknu Chachamim Shirech Kol Echad V'Echad Le'atzmo, Ein Yotze Klal B'Berkat Chaviro. Chachamim forfeited your right to have such a situation in the middle of the meal. They took away your right to make a bracha that will be motzi others, even in a situation where everybody's paying attention. And nobody's eating at this time, it still would not work. It's a blanket gezerah that nobody should make a bracha for their friend in the middle of the meal. And then Tosfot drops the bomb at the end of this Tosafot here. It is the premise for a very powerful tshuva from Rav Moshe. And that is, Tzarchiyun kitzat me'avdolah. We have to look into our havdolah. She'anu mavdilim v'omdim. We make havdolah while people are standing around. How will we motzi the other people from Yain Avdala? We have no kviut between us. Now Tosafot already said this on the Mishnah, and I mentioned at the time that we're going to get to this again, that our yeshiva, our sitting down, is the equivalent of their haseba. To sit around a table, to be in the chairs at the table, that is the equivalent of what they did by haseba. So Tosafot says, I understand if they were yoshev, it would work. But that's not the case. People stand for Havdalah. Shema yesh lomar. So he says, maybe you have to say, mitoch shiyo kovim atzman kedei litzei didei Havdalah. Since they're bringing themselves there only for the purpose of hearing Havdalah, that has a certain amount of kviyut. Kavi inami akulo milta. Therefore, it affects everything and creates a kviyut for even for the yayin and the birkot Havdalah. Ulkach. And then Tosfot says in the end, na'eh. It is preferable, it is better to sit down for Havdalah. That is both the one who is Mavdil, the one who is making the bracha of Havdalah, as well as those that are listening to Havdalah, they should sit down. And that is the preferable practice according to Tosafot. Moshe, in a very early series of Tchumin, wrote about standing and sitting for Kiddush and Havdalah. And over there, Rav Moshe says that there's really no source for standing during Kiddush or Havdalah. And you see from this Tosafot, it's actually the opposite. It's much more preferable to sit down for Kiddush and Havdalah, especially since one of the requirements of Kiddush is Kiddush b'makom Seuda. Has to be a Kiddush in the place of a Seuda. How do you make it a place of Seuda? It's to be Koveya, that you all sit down together, you make it a makom Seuda. And therefore it becomes a Kiddush b'makom Seuda. And based on that, Ramosha says, when it comes to Havdalah, one should sit down. When it comes to Kiddush and Yom Tov, one should sit down. When it comes to Havdalah and Yom Tov, one should sit down. When it comes to Kiddush on Friday night, they should sit down. The two things that he says might have some mikor is Kiddush on Friday night, which is the standing up for the Vayechulu, which is also premised on the idea of a greeting, the Shabbat Malkah that's coming in. And the same might be true by Havdalah. He says it's not as strong a theme by Havdalah, but the same thing might be true in Havdalah of Malava Malko, that we are accompanying the Queen of Shabbat out, and therefore it might be appropriate to stand. But that, he says, is a limud zchut. And then he says an amazing thing. He says, what happens if someone has the minhag to stand up for Kiddush on the night of Yom Tov, on the day of Yom Tov? Rav Moshe says that he shouldn't continue that minhag, that he should practice halacha properly. What about the fact that minhag avotehem biyadehem? They have the minhag of their forefathers with them. Rav Moshe says that minhag only applies when it's correct, when it's halakhically appropriate. But if someone has a minhag that is incorrect, that's called a minhag ta'ut. And a minhag ta'ut has no impact, and therefore a person is not bound by that, and should not be bound by that. They should rectify it and do the right thing. And so therefore, Moshe is very mocked. He says, by the night of Yom Tov and the day of Yom Tov, there is no reason to stand. You don't have, like by Shabbat, the greeting of the Shabbat and by Yechulu, that doesn't exist in Yom Tov. And there he says, for sure you should have to sit in Kiddush night and day, Havdalah, and on Yom Tov. On Shabbat, he thinks the same thing, but he gives a dispensation with regards to Friday night because of Ayahulu, and on Motzei Shabbat because of Malava Malka. But obviously, Kiddush during the day on Shabbat, he again says one should sit down. And despite the fact that someone has a minog from their parents to stand up, he says it's a minog ta'ot. And since it's a minog ta'ot, person should change it and do the right thing. With the exception of Friday night, and possibly Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. Comes out of this Tosfot right here, it says that it's very clear we should be sitting for Havdalah in order to have kviyut, so that one person can make a bracha for everyone that is there. And there are definitely benefits to that. When people sit down, they listen, they pay attention, instead of floating around, walking around, standing around. That presents from both perspectives, friends of kviyut in terms of unity of the group, but also creates an environment in which people are part of the Havdalah or the Kiddush. V'hu omer al ha-mugmar. The Mishnah concluded that the one who makes the bracha on the yayin achara suda also gets to make the bracha on the mugmar. Miltani v'hu omer al mugmar. The fact that the Mishnah came out and says proper etiquette is for the one who made the bracha on the wine at the end to make the bracha on the mugmar, the incense, afterwards. Chal de'ika adif minei. There is a possibility that someone should have precedence over him. But my, so why is he granted the right to make the bracha despite the fact that there's someone else greater than him at the meal that should be making the bracha? Because this person washed first from my machronim, he is the one who's entitled to make the bracha. So there is a certain amount of etiquette that would say the person who washed my machronim first now becomes the primary figure in the meal. He's the one who's going to bench. He should also make the bracha on the mugmar. Along comes the Mishnah and says that that right is granted to the one who made the bracha alayayin. He finishes off the mitzvah and benches. He does the birkat hamazon and then continues on to finish off with the bracha on the mugmar. Misayile the Rav. This helps the position or supports that position of Rav. Damar Rav Chiya Barashi, Omar Rav. Hanotel Yadav Tchila Ba'achrona, the person who washes first by Mayim Achronim, who mizuman the bracha. He's the one who will make the bracha, will do the zimun and make the birkat hamazon, because the fact that he washed first is indicative that he's the one who's chosen to do that. Rav, Rabbi Chiya. Rav was with his uncle, Rabbi Chiya, together, they were eating before Rabbi Sudoto, a meal. Remember Rav, in his early years, when he was young, weren't in Rabbi's academy, and he was known as a superstar then. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, in the Gemara, recall how they used to know this guy, Rav, who was a superstar in Rabbi's shir. Later, Rav came to Bavel, where he becomes a prominent figure, a leader in the Babylonian community, and that's the Rav that we know that's quoted all over Shas. But in the early years, he was in Eretz Yisrael, together with his uncle, Rabbi Chiya, and now they're eating in front of Rabbi. Amalei Rabbi the Rav, kum ashi yadech. Rabbi signals over to Rav that he should get up and wash his hands. Chazi davi mirtot. His uncle, Rabbi Chiya, he saw that he was trembling, it was fear. Why did Rabbi tell me to wash my hands? Did he see me do something wrong? Am I eating too much? He thought it was something that he was doing that was inappropriate, and then Rabbi was trying to signal it to him by telling him to go wash his hands. Amalei Rabbi Chiya, barpachtei. Chiya says, you, barpachtei is bar gidolim, the son of great ones, meaning that you're a Talmud Chochom. Ayin beberachat mizona kamarloch. When he said to wash your hands, it means, I'm giving you permission to bench for us, to lead the benching. Doesn't mean that he found something wrong with you. That's the way that you indicate that this person is the one designated to make birchat hamazon. Am Rabbi Zeira, Am Rava, Bar Yirmiyah, May Matay Mevarchim Al Reach. From what point do you make a bracha on smells? Mishitaleh Timrato. When its smoke starts to rise from the incense, that's the time that it's considered to be a smell that you can make a bracha over. Amalei Rabbi Zeira, the Rava, Bar Yirmiyah, Vaha Lo Ka'arach. How can you make a bracha on it? You didn't smell it yet. Samlei Lo Tameich, Amotzi Lechem In Haaretz, Demevarech. How do you make a bracha on Motzi Lechem In Haaretz? Vaha Lo Achal. You didn't eat anything yet. That he intends to eat. Intention to eat is enough to say you must make a bracha rishonah. So too over here, he says that he had in mind to smell. And that's enough to say you should make a bracha before you do smell. Amar Rav Chiya b'rei d'Abba bar Nachmani. Amar Rav Chista mar Rav. Amar Milo amar Rav Chista mar Ziri. Kol ha-mugmarot mivarchim aleihem borei atzei bisamim. All mugmar gets a brocha of borei atzei bisamim because it comes from some sort of vegetation or tree. Chutz mimush. Except, or the exception to that rule is musk shemin chayahu. Because that comes from an animal, not from trees, wood, or branches. Shemarchim ala borei minei bisamim. And therefore the brocha on it will be borei minei bisamim because it can't say borei atzei bisamim. It's not coming from an eitz. It's coming from an animal. And therefore the proper bracha will be borei minei bisamim. The only broad thing you make a bracha on borei atzei b'samim on is balsam trees. Those are Beit Rabbi, who is very wealthy, or the Beit Kezar. These are very wealthy, aristocratic, high-class individuals, and therefore they had these expensive balsam trees. Now, any balsam tree would require the bracha, it's just not found everywhere because of the nature of the tree to be so expensive, it was only found in these unique places. And on that, you make borei atzei b'samim, as well as on
v'hadash b'chol makom, and myrtle anywhere. But what you see from this is that that's not the standard bracha. Borei atzei b'samim is only used in these very specific times. Otherwise, you would not make the bracha borei atzei b'samim.
Tiyufta, this is a very strong question against that previous statement. Kol mugmarot mevarchim aleihem borei atzei b'samim. Amalei Rav Chista Rav Yitzchak, hi Mishka da Arfar Simon, my mevarchin aleih. This balsam oil, what bracha do you make on it? Amalei Hochi Amar Rav Yehuda, borei shemen arzenu.
The one who created the oil from our land.
Amalei Bar Minei Rav Yehuda, I don't want to hear what Rav Yehuda has said about this because Chaviv Alei Eretz Yisrael,
he was in love with Eretz Yisrael.
So early in the Masechta, back on Daf Chavdalah Amud Bet, with the story of Rabbi Avo who was trying to run away from Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda believes Kol Olam Mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael Over Basay. He thought it was inappropriate to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but that didn't in any way diminish his love for Eretz Yisrael and his feelings towards Eretz Yisrael, even though he felt it might be restricted from going to Eretz Yisrael.
So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's bracha specifically engaged in Shevach Eretz Yisrael.
And the reason Rabbi Yehuda said, Borei Shemen Arzenu, that's grown in our land,
Rashi says something amazing here.
She'agadel b'Yericho, grown in Yericho, v'ashem she'areach haitani kreit Yericho.
And the name Yericho comes from the shorish reach, from the smell.
Vuf,
fanag,
hamur b'sefer Yechezkel.
And then he says, kach ra'iti b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion.
Rashi claims, what's the source for this information that he has?
He saw it in the book of Yosef ben Gurion, who maybe know better to people as Josephus.
Rashi read Josephus, that's how he knew that.
Says, but the Kuliyam, my, other people don't have that deep-seated connection and that closeness there to say, what bracha do they make? Like a bracha that says that one who created the pleasing shemen. This fragrant root, or putchuk, or costum, from the word kavush, lo. As Rashi points out, mishka kavisha means oil that was soaked in an item that gave it some sort of aroma, so it imparted to it some sort of smell or aroma. As he says, shemen shebo tamuna kusht. The kusht is inside of this oil, vashem miriach min abosem. The oil absorbs the smell from the perfume that it's in. And therefore, the question here is, do you focus on the oil, or do you focus on what's giving the smell to the oil? Rav Kana amar afilu mishka kvisha. Even here, where the wood is imparting the fragrance to the oil, nevertheless, you still make the bracha borei atzei bisamim, because that is the ikar, or the primary reason why there is any aroma or fragrance to this shemen. Bal mishka techino, if he takes the incense or whatever it is and grinds it up and then puts it in the oil, lo, your dayamri, afilu mishka techino. Even if it is ground down and put in the oil, then you still make a bracha borei atzei bisamim. You still see the etzim as the source for that which, the fragrant odor that's coming out of the oil now. Amar Gidol Marav, hi samlik, mevarchin alei borei atzei bisamim. This samlik, as Rashi says, yasmin, jasmine, korin lo b'lo lishon Ishmael. In Arabic, it's called jasmine. Amar Rav Chananu, Amar Rav hanei chilfei di yamo. These rushes or reeds of the sea. Rashi says they are called ashpig, behu, shibolet nerd, mentioned as the ingredients of the ketoret. Amar Mikra, what's the posuk that shows that that is true? That this, Dolfe de Yama, is classified as an eitz to say the bracha of borei atzei b'samim on it. So the Gemara says, because this Chilfe de Yama have similar properties to pishtan, they look like the stalks of flax. And therefore, they bring a proof from the pasuk about pishtan that it's also called eitz. Vehi el atama gaga, Rachav Azona protects the two spies sent by Yeshua, and she hides them up on the roof. Ratit menaim, she hides them on the roof and places them under the flax. And when it does with the flax, it calls it an eitz. So we see that there is this concept that stalks are called an eitz. You can make a bracha borei atzei b'samim on these items. Amar Rav Mesharshia, hay narkum de guninita. Rashi quotes the Baga saying it's Chavatzelet Asharom, which is a lily. Dugunaita means Hagadel Beginah, that grows in the garden. The other possibility of what this narcum is it's Narcissus, or a white daffodil. So even if it's the garden variety of this species, then Mevarchin Alei Borei Atzei B'Samim. The Dabra, that which is grown in the wild, Borei Izvei B'Samim. Amar Rav Sheisha, Hani Sigle. This Sigle, which is the root of the Cypress Rotundus, or violets. There you definitely make a bracha borei atzei b'samim. And you can see in Rashi that he says that the sigle is violets. Violush belaz. What's difficult about this is that Rashi and Chumash, in trying to describe what the dudaim are that Reuven brings back from the field that Leah takes and trades those to Rachel in order to have Yaakov that night, Rashi in Chumash says they are sigle, and he translated as jasmine. So he combines what we have here under Samalek and sigle, and says that in the Chumash, the sigle is the same as the definition he's giving here for Samalek. So that's something that does tzarech iyun on Rashi's explanation of what the dudaim are. Our Amar Razutra, Ayman de Morach Betrogo or Bechavusha. Anyone who smells the aroma, fragrance of the etrog, the citron, or chavusha, Rashi calls them kondonais, which is translated as a quince. Omer, Baruch Shnatan Reach Toba Perot. Blessed be the one who caused there to be fragrances that are emitted or are produced by the fruit. Amar Rav Yehuda, hi, Manda Nofik B'yomid Nisan. Someone who goes out in the springtime, V'chaze Ilani Dekam Alav Levei, and he sees trees that are blossoming. Omer, he says the brocha, which we know as Birkat Ilanot. This Birkat Ilanot is said in the springtime when the trees blossom. It says, Baruch Shloch Yisair Ba'olomo Klom. Blessed be Hashem who has nothing missing from his world. Ubarabo Briot Tovot. And he created great creations or creatures. Vilanot Tovot. And wonderful trees. Lihit Na'ot Behen B'nei Adam. In order for mankind to enjoy them. So those blossoms which are beautiful in the beginning of the springtime, when you go outside, you have to give Shevach L'Hashem. You have to say something to acknowledge that this came from Hashem and to thank Him for it. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav. Minayin Shemarachim Al Ereach. How do you know that we make a bracha on fragrances at all? Gemara takes that as a given, but how do we know that? The Mishnah takes it as a given. How do we know that? Shenemar kol nishama tahelka. The nishama will give or sing out praise to Hashem. Ezu devar shenishama nehenit menu ve'ena guf nehenit menu. What is an item in the physical world which the neshama gets benefit or enjoys, but it has no physical properties to make the body feel it? Hare omer, zeh reach, that is smell. And then so therefore, kol neshama tehelel ka. V'amar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia amar Rav, atidim bechorei Yisrael shinu reach tov kalibanon. In the future, the young lads of Bnei Israel will give off a wonderful aroma, smell, fragrance, perfume like that of Lebanon, shenemar. Yochu yon kutav, its branches had spread out. Vayikazayit hodo, and its beauty was like that of the olive tree. Vireach lo kalibanon, and the fragrance that was emitted from him is like that of Lebanon. Vamar of Zutra bar Tufia. The Gemara is playing on the word yon kutav to mean the young ones, and the Masorta Shat adds in that these are shlo tamu tam chait, that they don't have any sin associated with them. Those yochu yon kutav, those extensions of Hashem will have these properties of being Kizayit Hodo, like the beauty, the glory of the olive tree, and have the fragrance of the Lebanon. Rav Zutra bar Tuvia Amarav, my dichtiv et kol asher asah yafeh b'ito. Everything Hashem created, and it's good in its time. Lameich kol echad v'echad yafeh lo kosh baruch hu minato b'fanav. Whatever profession a person is engaged in, that's what Hashem wanted for that individual. That Hashem enjoys or approves of the professions of each individual. Hashem's world needs to work, and we need people in different professions, and therefore Hashem is happy with each person who fills in the professions that need to be had. This is what people say, Talalei Kora the Davar Acher. You can hang out a Kora we saw before is Leva Dekel, it's heart of palm. You can lay it out even though the pig is going to come
and he'll take it back to his pen and roll in the mud with it. Why? Because that's his job, that's his nature, and that's what Hashem wants him to do with it.
So Amar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia Amar Rav Avuka Kishnayim. When you carry a torch at night, it's equivalent to having two people walking. V'yareach. And when the moon's out, Kishlosha. It's like three people walking. Yivalu Avuka Kishnayim Baday Diday. The two are including him. Odom Avuka Kishnayim Varmi Diday. Or maybe it is specific equivalent of having two besides him. Tashma V'yareach Kishlosha. That the moon is equivalent to having three people there. Yamar Bishlama Bahadi Diday Shapir. If you're talking about him, including him, it's three people. That makes sense. If we're not including him in the number, arba lamali. Since when is four a relevant number when it talks about going out at night? The echad near eu mazik. When it comes to shadim or mazikim at night, if he walks alone, they appear to him and they can do damage to him. The shnayim near e ve'enu mazik. Two people, they appear but they don't damage them. The shloshayinu near e kolikai doesn't even show up for the party. Must be that when we say two, it means two with him. Clear that three is the highest threshold by which we have something said. And therefore, when it says here that avuka is equivalent to two, it means two, including the individual carrying the avuka. Better for a person to throw themselves or have themselves be thrown into a burning pyre in order to not embarrass your friend in public. Minolon. Where we know this from? V'itamar. By Tamar it says, Shenemar v'hi mutzeit. She was being taken out in order to be burned at the stake. And she doesn't say, oh, it's not me, it was all Yehuda. She sends over the simanim that she has to Yehuda to see if he'll admit to his wrongdoing and rectify the situation. So rather than embarrassing Yehuda in public, she was willing to have herself be burnt at the stake. This isn't really the place to have the discussion. I'll just point out to you that this, according to some of the Rishonim, is included under Yehareg v'al Yavor. There are certain mitzvot where
there is a demand that one give up their life rather than violate the mitzvah. And that's basically what's being laid out here in the Gemara, that one has to give up their life rather than embarrass the individual. Rishonim have different takes on this, some saying that it really is Yehareg v'al Yavor, others saying that it has a different categorization. But the Gemara is using this for the effect or the emphasis on how important this mitzvah is.
Turn about and reveal the fanav shemen v'hadas. They brought in front of him the oil at the end of the meal, as well as the hadas, the myrtle. V'chami omri mivarecha l'shemen. First you make a bracha on the oil, v'achachach mivarecha l'hadas, and afterwards the myrtle. V'chami omri the opposite. Mivarecha l'hadas. First you make the bracha on the myrtle. And then afterwards, you make bracha on the oil. Amar Gamliel, ani achriya. I will make a decision here. Shemen shachinu derechov v'zachinu lesichato. Shemen has both properties of good smell, as well as it's used to anoint an individual. Adas, when it comes to myrtle, there's only one usage for it. That's the rechov. Adas, the rechov zachinu, sichato lo zachinu. And therefore, shemen should get precedence over here. Rabbi Yochanan halacha kidivri machriya. Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel in this instance. Baba yikud bei Ravuna berei de Ravika aitu de kamayu shemen vadas. This is exactly this case. They got oil and myrtle. Shakur papa baruch hadas bereisha. He went ahead and grabbed the myrtle and he made a bracha on it first. Vader baruch shemen. Then he made the bracha on the shemen. Amalei lo sever lo mar halacha kidivri machriya. You don't subscribe to that position, Rabbi Yochanan. It says halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel the machriya here. Amalei hoki amarova halacha ke Beit Hillel. Rava said that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. The next line of the Gemara is extremely controversial, and there are questions whether it should be in the girsa. Velohi, that is not the case. There's to ute nafshehu da alvid. He did this to get out of a bind. He didn't remember the halacha. He had made a mistake. In order to get out of that problem, he said that had a memra from Rava, his Rebbe, even though it was not true. For that reason, many leave out this girsa, the riff, and others because, so as Tazawa points out, kaka tuba sfarim shalano, that's what's in our Gemara, is with Perish Rashi. And that's how Rashi explained the Gemara, Ela Rav Papa ichsif lefisha ta'az. Rashi says, Rav Papa was embarrassed, he made a mistake, v'hishmid atzmo bekach. And he got himself out of that bind by saying he had a memra from Rava, that wasn't true. Avala Rav Alphas, the riff, paskins like Rava. Sounds like he left out the Belohi in his Girsa. So you see here, there's a machloket in the Girsa of the Gemara. So what really transpired? The Ramami Pano says that Rav Papa misvrod and afshei palag Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Papa came up with an argument against Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't want to take credit for it, and therefore he said it was his Rebbe, Rava, who said it. Now that it's not true, it is true. But he didn't use it as a ploy to get out of his problem, but rather, he said over Alocha that he was thinking, he said it over in the
name of his Rebbe. So you have three opinions here as to what transpired. One is that Rava was in a bind, and he basically makes up a memra from his Rebbe in order to protect himself from being embarrassed that he had practiced the halacha incorrectly. Others who say that it was really true that Rava had said such a thing, and they leave out the words velohi, and they pass the halacha like Rava. And the last one is, it wasn't really true, because Rava never said it, but Rav Papa had a svara to say it. He assigned that to his Rebbe in order not to take credit for it.
Tana Rabbanan. Hevi'u lifneihem shemen v'yayin. They brought before them shemen and wine. V'chamei amrim ocheza shemen b'mino. Put the oil in your right hand, which means it's giving chashivut. But the yayin b'smalo, the wine in the left hand. V'vareich al shemen. You make the bracha on the shemen first, v'chozer v'vareich al yayin, and then on the wine. B'tilo amrim ocheza the yayin b'yimino. You hold the wine in your right hand, v'the shemen b'smalo, and his left hand you put the shemen. First you make the bracha on the wine, then you make the bracha for the smell, or the fragrant smell of the shemen. And then when they finished with that shemen, they used to wipe it off on the hair of the shamash on his head, so that he would smell nice and be aromatic. If the shamash is a tamar chacham, tachu bekotel. Wipe off your hands on the wall. It's an embarrassment. It's unacceptable. It's a denigration for a Talmud Chacham to go out into the shuk when he is perfumed. There are six things that are inappropriate. A denigration of the status of a Talmud Chacham. One is al yitzei kishuhu mibusam. Our case over here, the shuk. He shouldn't go out into the public domain when he has perfume on. Va'al yitzei yichidi balaylo, shouldn't go out alone at night. Va'al yitzei minalim and tulaim, he shouldn't go out with shoes that have, or sandals that have holes in them that were patched up. Va'al yisaper yimayisha b'shuk, you shouldn't speak to any woman in the public domain. Va'al yisev b'chabura shel amayaretz, and you shouldn't join or be together with a group of amayaretz. Va'al yikanez b'achrona le'beit ha-midrash, you should not be the last one into the midrash. V'yishumim aflo yafsiya psiya gasa, shouldn't take running steps or long steps on Shabbat. Vayelech b'komas kufa, he shouldn't walk around with a haughtiness or an uprightness to himself. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go back and explain each one of the lines in the Braita. Ayetzik shum b'busam l'shuk, he shouldn't go out when he has this aromatic smell emanating from him. Am Rabbi Abba, Breder of Chir Ba'aba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Milkom shechashudim al mishkav zachor, place where there are problems with homosexuality. And this is one of the ways that they attracted a partner. That's only true if the perfume is on his clothing. Aval begufo, but it's on his body. Zeya ma'avrole, it is deodorant. He's trying to cover up or remove the smell. So therefore, it's permissible. It's only when it's in his clothing that it is problematic. Amar papa usearok bigdo domi. His hair is like his clothing. And some say it's like his goof. And that would obviously have enough kumina of whether you already have a perfume in one's hair. You shouldn't go out alone at night. Because people suspect he's going to some form of rendezvous. That's only true when he doesn't have a fixed time where he goes at night to learn. If he has a fixed meeting or time to go, then people
know
that he's going to the place that he always goes, to the appointment that he's going to. Not that he's trying to be involved in some promiscuous, inappropriate behavior. Person should go out with shoes that are patched. This helps support the position of Rabbi Chiya Ba'avo. That it's inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham they should go out with patched shoes. Is that really true? Rabbi Chiya Ba'avo, no, he himself went out with patched shoes. That's only when it's a patch on top of a patch. That's only true when it's on the shoe itself, or that goes on the foot or on the leg. But if it's on the sole where people won't see it, there's no problem. It's only true when you're outside the house. But if he's inside the house, we don't worry about it. It's only true during the summertime, during the dry season, where your shoes are very visible. In the rainy season, where they get all muddy and caked, nobody will know whether there's a tzlai on it, whether there's a patch on it. Late lumba, there's no problem. You shouldn't converse with a woman in the shuk. Even if it's his wife. You have a bright that supports this. Even if it's his wife or his daughter. If it's his sister. Not everybody knows who his relatives are. And therefore they'll come to suspect him about conversing with a woman in the shuk. He shouldn't join in with a group of Amei Haaretz. My time up. What's the reason? Because they may be drawn after their conversation, their behavior. He's not going to be the last one into the Beit Midrash. They'll call him a Posheya. Other Girsot are Atzel, that he'll be the lazy one, Omitatzel, because of Poshea, because he was lazy. And some say that he shouldn't run. Every time a person runs, it takes out 1/500th of lighting of their eye, of their
vision. It dims a person's vision.
How do you rectify it? When he drinks the Kiddush on Friday night, that helps. You shouldn't walk around with an upright back, haughty manner. Anybody walks around in that manner. Even for 4 amot, it's as if he's bumping into the feet of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shinemar, because it says, Malo Kol Haaretz Kivodo. His presence fills the entire world. And we also know that it says, the Olam is Hadom Raglai. It's the resting of the footstool of my feet. If you stand up too tall, you can knock a Kodesh Baruch Hu's feet. It's obviously a sign of overreaching or overextending one's boundaries where they think that they are on the same level as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop over here.